Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, that you would not only spark our hearts, but you would set a holy fire into our spirit, Lord, that we may be able to achieve that you've called us to achieve. Father God, that we may be about our Father's business. And Lord God, we ask you now that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God, the word that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and prosperity to all that hear and believe. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the anointing that makes preaching easy. Father, we thank you now, Lord, for the word of God that sustains and strengthens us. We thank you, Lord God, for the blood of Jesus that covers us, cures us, cleanses us, and connects us to you. We thank you for the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we thank you because he gives to us what belongs to you, and he guides us along the way. We thank you, Father, for what you've given us thus far. And Lord God, we thank you that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord God, in this hour and our intimate moment with you, we have been made whole of all things. Father, we thank you now. And Lord God, we will join in with the many-winged cherubim, the many-eyed cherubim, the many-winged seraphim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, and your glory fills the earth. We thank you, Lord. And we give you praise in the matchless, miraculous, and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We are still talking about spiritual stability. If you missed a Bible study on Thursday night, I guarantee that it's something in that you probably need for your life. Amen. Amen. But spiritual stability is what we've been talking about. And I want to talk about being stable in crisis situations. Amen. Being stable in crisis situations. Amen. There's many. Says Satan answered, verse 9 talks about Job, don't fear you for naught. You made a hedge about him and you blessed the work of his hands. Everything he touched, he got the Midas touch. Everything he touched turns to gold. He has his substance increased. He said, but put forth your hand. Satan is ignorant. How are you trying to trick God into doing something to somebody he loved? You know how it is when you have a child and you know how to handle your children, but somebody said, you need to whoop them. And you say, no, that one there, I just need to tell them how disappointed I am. And that'll be enough for them. You know, we handle each other differently. You know, so Satan trying to tell God how to handle his child. And so, he said, put forth your hand. Satan knew he couldn't put his hand forth, so he said, the only person that can touch Job is God. Yeah. Now, you know, I hear people say this all the time, especially those in the world and the rappers, only God can judge me. You know, that's true. That's true in a sense, but it's more true for the saint. Because nobody, who can lay a charge to God's elect? Nobody can do it. Uh-huh. He says that God, can't nobody touch Job but you. Can't nobody do nothing with Job except you, because you put him in a place that he can't be touched. Amen? Amen. And so Job could really say what MC Hammer said, you can't touch this. Just to see if y'all were awake. And so he says, and the Lord said in verse 12, behold, all that he had is in your power. And upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went out of the presence of the Lord. The only reason why, see, we can't be like Satan. The only reason we go to God is to get something, to get permission for something. That's all Satan was there for. All he wanted was permission to do some damage. And after he got permission, God said, go and do it. He said, but you can't take his life. Some of the stuff that we think we're suffering with, we think it's going to kill us. But sometimes we got to remember that this is not unto death. But we're going to, he said that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. We need to know that thinking not strange the fiery trials, they're only there to what? Try us. That we don't think some strange thing has happened to us. Amen. And so it says, that it goes on to tell us about the challenge. After God said, go ahead, here's the challenge Satan gives. After the conversation, here comes the challenge. I bet you if I go and do this, then he'll curse you to your face. But then we understand the catastrophic crisis that Job went through. First off, he lost all his animals, everything. He lost his herd. He lost his sheep. He lost everything. But not only did Job lose everything he had, but he lost the potential for bringing everything he had back. He lost the potential because Job had servants. Listen to this. He had people that he had brought up, that he had raised up in his own house, that he trained to take care of his business, that they were taking care of the business, and they died in the midst of taking care of it. We often talk about how he lost his cattle and he lost his sheep, but Job lost some friends. He lost some people that were loyal to him. You know, it's nothing like feeling like you're all by yourself. Oh, Lord, help me today. Job lost everything. He lost the people that he could count on, that he could trust. They died trying to defend and keep Job's stuff. But when the Sabaeans came, they destroyed from the south. Then from the north, the Chaldeans came, took his camels. In other words, Job had a fleet of things. He had a fleet of vehicles, and they took all of his vehicles. He had all kinds of assets, and they took all his assets. Then he had children, and you know, Job loved his children so much that if they had a party, Job would go worship the Lord and sacrifice on their behalf just in case they got drunk and did something foolish. Job did all of this. But then one day, they were all at the house, and suddenly a storm came through, and all of his children, all 10 of them died. Now here's Job all by himself. The Bible said that Job didn't do anything foolish, that Job didn't say anything foolish, but Job waited. Job, you know, Satan sat back and waited for Job to have a nervous breakdown. He sat back and waited for Job to pull all his hair out of his head. Job said, I'm not going to give you that chance. I'm going to cut my hair. You're not going to see me pull my hair out of my head. You're not going to see it fall out because I'm worried. I'm going to cut this. Job rent his clothes. Job said, look, I'm going through something right now. And to top it all off, Satan went back to God. Satan went back. He says, look, I need to talk to you one more time. The reason why Job is not it's not cursing you right now after all that he'd been devastated with. But let me go back, because when Job got the news that he lost something, as soon as one was speaking and he got the last word out of his mouth, the next one spoke. Yeah. You know, it's something. We have not suffered like Job. None of us have been through the thing that he had to go through. Bad news. And, you know, we might get it in the run of a week or maybe 6 months, 2 years. You know, we might have a death every year or so or other year. But Job had all of his children die. All of his servants die. He had all of his animals confiscated. He had lost everything. He had nothing. And all of this happened in a run of a day. Could you handle that? I know we can't. Don't lie to me. Don't lie, because we'll be ready to go. Lord, take me too. We one person died. We want the Lord to take us. We in the casket. I want to go. Come on, tell the truth. Shame the devil. Amen. I'm going to get to it. I know it's kind of calmed down. Y'all laid back, so I'm going to lay back too. But look at Job's reaction to the crisis. We'll go on down to verse 20 where we were. Job's reaction. The Bible says that Job arose. Now, we wouldn't even rose up. You know what we would have did? We'd have fell out. Amen. We would have fell out, and we would have kicked and screamed. We'd have reverted back to our two-year-old stage. We would have rolled on the floor. We would have done some stuff. Come on and say amen here. Amen. He rose up, rent his mantle. That was customary in that day, that if you were in anguish, that you would express it by renting your mantle. Kind of like how we do today. We turn tables over and stuff, you know. He shaved his head, fell down upon the ground in worship. Look at his reaction. Job set his sight on God. He said, I'm not looking at anybody else. We'll start looking at people because we want to blame them. We'll start looking at the devil. Oh, come on and say amen. Job didn't look at the people. He never mentioned the Sabaeans. He never mentioned the Chaldeans. He never mentioned anybody that did him wrong. The enemy let one person survive, a messenger. Won't he let somebody tell you some stuff? Oh, yeah, he want them to get it back to you. Come on and say amen. Oh, he wants you to get the bad news. Oh, my God, today. He looked. And he set his sight on God. He lifted up his head unto the hills from whence cometh his help. And he knew that I got to look for God through this all. If we could do like Job when we go through our little crisis, when we go through our catastrophic crisis, when our events happen in our life, if we can turn back and say, you know, I'm looking for God through this. I don't know what's going to turn up, but I know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the call according to his purpose. Paul even tells us in Romans 8, he says that we're going to go through some tribulation. He said, but what shall we say to these things? He said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? That's what we need to say. That's the response that our trouble need to get from us. That's the response the crisis need to get from us. Whenever we go through, we need to turn around and say, how can I see God in this? How can I see what God has in store for me in this? I don't know how God's going to bring me out, but I got confidence that he will. Oh, I don't doubt him because I know too much about him. I know that God will make a way somehow. I know that God will open up a door that's been closed in my face. I know that God can bring me back up from the crisis that I'm in. I may be at an all-time low, but I'm looking for God to lift me up on high because his love will lift me higher than my situations. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. We need to look like Job did. His reaction was, I got to seek God. And when he began to seek God, he began to say the right stuff. When you don't seek God, you don't say the right stuff. When you stop seeking God, you start saying stuff that you shouldn't say. Because when you got to understand something, it's important for us to say the right stuff while we go through. Because when it's just like an airplane. While we're flying, whenever there's a crash, they find the little black box to see what it was that was said last, what happened last, so that they can know what it was that took the plane down. You need to check your little black box and see what you're talking about. See what you're saying. Oh, come on and say amen. I remember what they taught us in history, that one of the generals said, loose lips sink ship. We need to know that sometime it'll sink us. Oh, come on and say amen here. That if we say the wrong stuff, that's why James tells us that the tongue was set on fire, the course of nature. That little bitty tongue, little bitty 4-inch long, about 2 or 3 inches wide, that thing, that little muscle never gets tired, and it can take you down if you don't watch it. In Proverbs, it says that the increase of our lips, our belly is satisfied, that we are snared by the words of our mouth. You want to get caught up in some mess, start talking mess. I wish I had somebody. Oh, glory be to God. Job set his sights on God. The Bible says that he rose up, rent his mantle. He began to look at God. He shaved his head and he fell down. He submitted to God. He set his sights on God. Then he submitted that to God. He fell down upon the ground and he didn't fall there and wallow. He didn't, you know, people expected him to do something and he showed them something else. You know, sometimes people tell you stuff, waiting on you to react, just waiting to see how you're going to show out. I know she finna clown now. The whole circus has come to town. I got Bozo Cookie. I got all the clowns and came to town. They know you finna act a fool. But God shows us that by Job that in a crisis, we don't have time to act a fool. There's no buffoonery here. We need to learn how to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within us. He set his sights on God. He submitted to God, and he subjected and he sustained his worship by not saying a word. I wish I had somebody. He fell down and he began to worship God. It wasn't no time for complaining. It wasn't no time for talking about I did all of this for them and I was nice to them and look at how they did me. It wasn't no time to talk about all that you did and how you can do this and you should have did that and I should have just, when they were suffering, I should have. Job didn't do that. Job just sat back and said, you know, I can imagine that because those people were Job's neighbors, the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, they benefited from Job's wealth. They knew what Job had and they said, we got to get what he got. And so they took what he had and took the lives that he had entrusted, that he had been entrusted with. But Job said, I'm not going to worry about this right now. I need to worship the Lord. Many times we stay home from church when we go through crisis because we think that, oh boy, I just can't face church. I can't go. I can't do this. But that's your time to worship God, because you need to know that every time you worship God, if you can get in God's presence, it'll make you feel better. When you worship God and you get in God's presence, it'll change the way you react to all that stuff. When you get in God's presence, he deposits something in you that you could not get all by yourself. He gives you some kind of stamina. He gives you a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. He gives you a joy that makes you able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do I have anybody here that agree with me this morning that I can't stop? I can't give up. I can't just throw in the towel, but I have to worship the Lord. When I go through my trials, when I look at what Job did, Job began to worship God. And then Job says in verse 21, he says, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. He said it was good while it lasted. It was good that God had blessed me while he did. But it must be the end of the blessing. So I'm just going to give it all to God. I'm going to count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations. Do I have anybody here that said, I know that the trying of my faith work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And when I know God, I got a hope that maketh me not ashamed. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm going to be stable in the midst of my crisis? I'm learning from Job that I need to learn to worship God whenever I go through a trial, whenever things are out of my control. See, it's not going to do you any good to call everybody and tell them about how bad it is, because it's out of your control anyway. So you can't do nothing about it. You can't change the way it is. And so the only person that can change it is God. And so who am I going to talk to? I'm not talking to all of you. I'm talking to God, because he's the only one that has enough power to change what I'm going through. I'm going through a crisis. I don't need you. I need Christ. I need somebody who I know can make a way. Somebody who I know can do the impossible. Do you know that God specializes in things that seem impossible? Do you know that God can do anything but fail, lie, and die? The Bible says he can do exceeding and abundantly and above all you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do I have any witnesses this morning? We need to get to a place that we understand that even though I'm in a catastrophic crisis, I still have the Christ to worship. And he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb. I didn't come here with anything. Everything I got, God gave it to me anyway. I wish I had somebody. He said, I came here by myself. I came here naked. But when I leave here, I might as well go back naked. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken way. And what he was saying here is that, God, any way you bless me, I'm satisfied. Whatever you do, I'm going to be content. I enjoyed what you had blessed me with, even though I would have liked to have it all just a little while longer. I'm thankful that you blessed me with it, because you could have blessed somebody else, and I wouldn't have never known what it felt like to be the richest man in the East, to be able to sacrifice what I wanted to, not to have to decide whether to eat or to sacrifice. sacrifice, but you bless me that I can sacrifice daily. I wish I had somebody here. Not only did you bless me physically, but you blessed me spiritually, that I had wisdom enough to know that I needed to worship you, and I had wisdom enough to know that I needed to worship you for my children's sake. So Job said, anyway, the devil has done all this stuff to me, but basically he did not recognize the devil, and I wondered why the devil wasn't recognized. After all, he was the one that did this. And then God revealed to me, this was the Old Testament, Al, and in the Old Testament there was no light. And so the light of the world, Jesus, when he showed up, Jesus started shedding the light, and he said that this person is possessed with a devil, or that's what a demon has done to this person. He said, what is your name? And the boy said, Legion. I wish I had somebody. Up until then, they didn't know what the devil could do, but Jesus began to reveal the devil because he was the light of the world. Oh, in the Old Testament we had shadows, but in the New Testament we got light. Do I have any witnesses here? And so Job, he was in a darkness, he was in a place of darkness right there, and he couldn't see what the devil had done, but God had Job's back. He said that I came out of my mother's womb naked. He said, I'm going back the same way. The Lord give it and the Lord take it away. Then he turns around and says something that makes the devil scratch his head. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. If you want to get the devil mad and make him walk away scratching his head, saying that man must be crazy. After all I throwed at him and all he can say is bless the Lord. After all the stuff I did to her and all she can do is say hallelujah. She should be cussing right now. She should be fighting right now. She should be fussing right now. After all I've done to her, all she can think about is serving God. See, the devil brings stuff to your life to try to get you to stop thinking about God. He don't want you to think about God. He don't want you to speak about God. He don't want you to glorify God. And God said, I dare you to do it. And the devil does it, and then we still come back to church. Come on and say amen. He did it again, and he said, oh, they can go to church, but they ain't gonna praise you. Then we come in the church with my hands lifted up. I wish I had somebody. And the devil said, they lifted hands because the preacher said lift their hands. And then you clap your hands. He said, oh, they did that because the praise leader said clap their hands. But then all of a sudden, you rear your head back and you start shouting hallelujah from the depths of your soul. And the devil feels that. He knows what's about to happen now, because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. The devil bit in my face all week long. I need to praise the Lord to get him out of my face. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee. But before he says that, he says, submit to God. Job submitted to God. When we start to submit, I'm not coming in here to just look around and see who looks good, see who got a new hairdo or a new hair don't. I'm not looking for somebody who got on some nice clothes that can say hallelujah at the proper time. Sometimes you gotta say it when it's all quiet, when it hits your spirit. What happened to the saints of old that anytime it hit them, they said, hey, hallelujah. Whenever it hit them, they said, glory. Didn't matter what time it was. Didn't matter what was going on. It could be the offering, and they say, hallelujah. It can be an announcement. They say, praise the Lord. Do I have anybody? They say, I learned, preacher, how to get through my crisis. I can praise the Lord, and I feel much better. Some of you suffering, and you're going through trials, and you hadn't praised him yet, but I dare you to praise him. I dare you to lift your hands. I dare you to open your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Do I have anybody here that say, Lord, I'm with you. I've been through the storm. I've been through the rain. I've been through heartaches. And I even been through pain. But I'm not tired yet. I'm going to give God some praise while I yet live. While I have breath in my body. I'm going to lift him up. Anybody here? Say, Pastor, I'm with you. They lied on me last week, but I'm lifting him up. They talked about me yesterday, but I'm praising him anyhow. They call me everything but a child of God, but I'm still here to say thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. I may not be perfect, but I heard the word say that perfect is the praise that comes off a baby's lips, and I'm God's baby. So hallelujah. Anyhow, anybody here, say hallelujah. Anyhow, say yes. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Why did he say name? Because it's something about the name of the Lord. It was so something. It was so sacred that the writers couldn't write it in the Old Testament. It was a tetragrammaton. It's YHVH. It's the name of the Lord. It was the name of the Lord that Moses asked, who shall I say sent me here? He said, say I am. That I am. Oh, come on and say amen. It wasn't that Job had to actually call his name, but the fact that he knew his name made things different. When you know God's name, when you know that he's Jesus, who is Jesus? That's Jehovah. He's the salvation. Oh, come on and say yes. When you realize he's your saving power, when you realize he's your healing power, when you realize he's your delivering power, you'll look back and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever I'm in, he'll be all that I need. I wish I had somebody that say, I know his name. At that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, do I have any witnesses? See, Job knew the name. Why did he say bless his name? Because at the name, demons fear and demons tremble. I may not know what direction he's coming from, but one thing I know, if I call on his name, oh yes, he is as close as the mention of his name. Would you lift his name? Would you scream his name? Will you holler? Holler his name. Say yes. He worshiped the Lord. But since I told you about the conversation, I told you about the challenge and the catastrophic crisis, let me tell you about the conclusion. The conclusion is this, that Job got sick. His wife said, Job, curse God and die. He said, woman, you crazy. I can't curse God. He's been too good to me. I don't deserve it. I don't think I do. But still, God is good. I wish I had somebody. Job had some friends that came and sat with him. He looked so bad. They couldn't say a word to him. They sat there for days just looking at Job. I don't know what to say. So if you don't have nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. But then they start talking to Job. Say, Job, you did something wrong. But it wasn't until Job began to pray for his wrongly accusing friends. Job prayed for his friends and he said, I'm waiting on God. I don't want to hear what you got to say. See, some of us, we're looking for people to say what we want them to say. We're looking for people to speak. But Job said, I don't want to hear it. I'm waiting to hear God. When the day comes, I get to talk to God. I ask him what the deal is. Then God spoke up and said, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations? Job, I had you in mind when I planted out us. When I mapped it out, I said, this belongs to Job. Do I have any witnesses? But the Bible says that Job was blessed more. He was doubled for his trouble more than he had before. God blessed him with double. Do I have anybody that realized the conclusion that if you're able to handle crisis, God could be setting you up. He can be setting you up for something greater. I used to have one car. They came and took it. Now I got two. Used to have one house. Looked like I lost it. Now I got three. Do I have a witness? Only had one friend. Now I got all kind of friends. Do I have a witness? Come on and say yeah. I had one bank account and it was bouncing like a ball. Now I got three bank.